This week's parsha is Parshas Vayera. So it says, "Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe v'yomer elav," and God spoke to Moses, saying to him, "Ani Hashem, I am God. Vayera el Abraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov," and I appeared. This is the parsha. The parsha is called Vayera, and I always tell you, a parsha, the name of the parsha, tells you the whole aspect of the parsha. Bekel Shakai, I appear to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avot, in the name of Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, and my name Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, lo nodati lehem, was not known to them. So there's a big Ramban here, they go to town, what does this mean? But simply speaking, you see there's a difference in expression between the Avos, which are the Shorash of Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu, which now Kadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself to the world and to his people. Bereishis is about the Shoroshim. Bereishis is about the roots of the world, the roots of the physical world, the creation of the spiritual worlds, and the creation of Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim. They're the Shoroshim. Maise Avos Simen Abonim. That's Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai, right? Shakai is usually the midah of Yesod. It's the midah of connection. Yesod is the midah, is that when the potency of man is expressed. The bris milah. The bris is where man's potency is expressed. The avos represent the potency of God. Moshe Rabbeinu and now Klal Yisrael coming into the world represent Shem Havaya. Havaya is, even in Hebrew, the word for, and that's the kavanah when you have Havaya in Kriyat Shema. When you use Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, it means Haya, was, Hove, is, Yihye, will be. Now, time, guys, the reason we have time in this way is past, present, and future, is not because that's how time is. There's a reason why time is this way. Past represents potency. Present represents the expression of that potency now. Future represents tachlis, purpose. I.e., man, the Shem Havaya represents when kivyachol, man, or whoever that is, God, expresses his potency. That's the expression of that potency. The past becomes the present to bring you closer to your tachlis, to your future. And that's what's being expressed in this parasha. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing all the potency that was created of the Avos, now in the present, for the tachlis, the future of the Geulah Atidah, i.e. the birth of the Jewish people is going to incur in this parasha, and next week's parasha, right? That's going to be the expression of God's will, which is going to be the Jewish people, the creation of the Jewish people, right? And the hashkacha, the influence of God in the world, the present world, i.e. hashkacha. What does hashkacha mean? What does it mean to have a relationship with God? Relationship is always now. Where you live is with your feelings, with your relationship. That's where you live now. That's when your potency is expressed now in a relationship. You know, in the Lashon of Chachamim, it's called zivug. What it means is the past connects with the present, because it's from the past comes the present, and that's the expression now. A husband and wife. A husband represents the potency, the male represents the potency, the wife represents the expressor of that potency. She represents the now. The husband represents the past. The connection and having a child, that bringing of something into the world now, that's the present. For what? For tachlis. What's a tachlis? You're bringing up well. Torah mitzvahs. Making him into a good child. You understand? In this week's parasha is being expressed, Shem Havaya is now being the expression of God's will in the world. The expression of God's will is the birth of the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people represent the expression of Shem Havaya. I explained to you before, the Jewish people is considered the Malchus, the expression of God. Malchus is always the expression of the upper spheres, right? The Malchus, who's the Malchus? Is Yehuda. Yehuda represents Malchus of the Jewish people. Yehuda's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei with the Dalet in the middle. Dalet represents, when the Dalet turns into a Hey, that it becomes God's name. So the Jewish people, we call Jews, right, Al Shem Yehuda, from the name of Yehuda. Because we, as a Jew, represent the expressions of God's name. That's what it means. It says, V'lechein emor lebnei Yisrael, Pasuk Vav, Ani Hashem, I am God, V'hotzeti, now we come to what Chazal say, the four Lashonas of Geula, the four aspects of Geula. It means, these are four stages of Geula. Says the Rishonim here, these four stages don't only represent the four stages of every Geula, but they also represent the four Galias that Klal Yisrael went through. The four exiles that Klal Yisrael went through. It says, V'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlo Mitzrayim. I took you out from the burdens or the hard work of Egypt. That's number one. V'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam. And I saved you from their work. Even if you came out from the bondage of Mitzrayim, you still were affliction, but you still were somewhat slaves. You weren't afflicted, but you were slaves. V'ga'alti etchem b'zruah netuya. And then I redeemed you with an outstretched hand. U'b'shvatim gdolim. And with judgment, with great judgments, literally. It means the makas, the 10 makas. After, that's what's happening in these next two parashas. Then there's a third stage, right? That's taking away from being an Eved. The makas is there. This is what the pasuk is telling you. The makas are here to remove you from your avdus, remove you from your slave thinking. Then it says, V'lakachti etchem li la'am, I take you to be a people to me. When's that going to happen? Right? That's going to be at Matan Torah. Then you become, there's a lekicha, there's a kiddushin. Kicha, kicha, Mr. Ephron? There's a kiddushin. You're married. You're married at, well, it's not really marriage, it's really bar mitzvah, but you're connected in the terms of lekachti, that's at Matan Torah. Vayiti lechem lelokim, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem elokechem, hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. Who took you out? Now there's a fifth one, which there's a fifth cup. This is called Kos Shel Eliyahu. What's that? Because we still haven't got there. Right? This is the last stage. V'heveiti etchem el ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi. And I brought you into Eretz Yisrael. That's full marriage. Right? V'tet otah l'Avraham Yitzhak Yaakov, so promise to give it to Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov. I gave you to you as an inheritance. Ani Hashem, I am God. Okay, so now we see these four stages of Geula. Now these four stages of Geula, guys, are also four stages of a person's personal Geula. That means the first thing a person feels is what? Affliction, pain. Pain is there to tell him he's not doing the right things. That's what pain is there for. The first thing is the removal of that pain. Then there's an avdus. What's the avdus? It's enslaved. A person's enslaved to his Yetzirah. What does it mean, enslaved to Yetzirah? Para represents, like Mesirat Yesharim says, the Yetzirah. There's an enslavement. You can no longer have an affliction, but a piece of schnitzel comes your way. You're popping it in the mouth, right? Right? You're a slave. You're a slave to your desires. There has to be removal. What removes you from that enslavery? Moftim ugdolim. Sometimes a person needs things that happen to him, makas. Makas to Yetzahara, to remove him from that enslavery. He needs to be removed from there. And then there's lekach tali la'am, then there's matan terah, then there's chibul to terah. Only when he removes his enslavery can he have a real chibur to Torah. So long as a person's going after his desires, his connection to Torah is going to be impaired. And then there's a final thing, veheveti, then it's living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's really marriage. Then he's ready for marriage. You with me?
I hear you.
First of all, the Sivlot Mitzrayim. Sivlot Mitzrayim represents the pains of life. Person goes through life and there's lots of things which affect him in a deep way, in a painful way. Those are the first things that have to be removed. Then there's the desires of man that he has to remove from those desires. That requires makas. That requires, you know, a waking up call. Not always a person removes himself from those things so easily. Then, after that, then there's lekachti, then there's learning Torah. The chibut to Torah. And then the final one is, now he's ready for marriage. Let's say Veiti Eretz Yisrael. That represents marriage. Vaydaber Moshe ken el bnei Yisrael. Moshe spoke to Jewish people. Velo shamu el Moshe mikotze ruach u'meavode kasha. And they didn't listen. What do you mean they didn't listen? They didn't have ears to hear. It didn't make sense to them. Why? Mikotze ruach. What's mikotze ruach u'meavode kasha? Rashi goes into town to say what's kotze ruach. Rucho u'nishmato k'tzara. It's like he's breathing, you know, like, he can't, he's like grabbing his breath. What does it mean? When a person grabs his breath, what does that mean? It means he can't breathe properly. That means he's not living. He's goses. He's half dead. When you're breathing for your life, you can't think about anything spiritually. When you're just living with kotzer ruach, right? People who are in hospital aren't thinking about ruchnius. I mean, maybe they are, you know, if they're deathbed or something like that. But when you're bekotze ruach, when you have no, you know, you're living just to breathe, or in our terms, someone comes to yeshiva, yeah? He hasn't eaten for 3 days. You can't talk to him about coming to yeshiva. He's always thinking about is getting food. That's all he's thinking about. He's, the pain is so deep in him, all he's thinking about is getting food. When a person has a deep problem, all they're thinking about is that deep problem. You understand? They're not thinking about anything else. That's the kotzer ruach. Klal Yisrael were besivlot Mitzrayim. They had the pain of Mitzrayim. That was their kotzer ruach. They're not thinking about geula. So now, Moshe Rabbeinu has this task of removing the sivlot Mitzrayim and removing this kotzer ruach and bringing them with moftim, with the makas, to remove them from the avdus and from this slave. The slavery mentality. They still are in the slave mentality. Obvious question to ask is, what do you need all these makas? You need 10 makas. Give it like a big bang and finished. One big maka. Makas Bacharos, knock out Paro, destroy the whole of Egypt, and just go out. No, the makas weren't to destroy Paro. The makas were to bring out the Jewish people from the mentality of 210 years of slavery. That means many generations of slavery. They were born into slavery. They had no idea of freedom. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lema. Moshe, God spoke to Moses. Bo daber paro melech Mitzrayim. Come and speak to Melech Mitzrayim. Vishlach et bnei Yisrael me'atzo. And send the people from my land. Vaydaber Moshe lefnei Hashem emo. Hem bnei Yisrael lo yishamu elai. Ve'ech yishme'eni paro. He made a kal v'chomer. Jewish people don't listen to me. Paro will listen. Vani Arel Sfatayim, and all the more so, I'm Arel Sfatayim. Rashi goes to town and say Arel means atum. It means I don't have the ability to express the depth of what I have to say, and therefore Paro won't fully understand me. Right? Hashem answers him. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe ve'el Aaron. Now Aaron comes. Aaron's going to be Nevi'echa. Aaron's going to be the person who speaks to Paro. V'yitzavem el bnei Yisrael. And the command of Jewish people, Vel Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Lahotzi et Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Yisrayim, take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Now something funny happens. The Chumash goes into all the Eile Roshe Beit Avotam, the heads of the tribes, Bnei Reuven, Bechor, Vechule, Vechule, goes through all of the history of the families until it comes back to the same thing, Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And Aaron. I was telling the whole Yichus, Rashi says, the Yichus of Moshe and Aaron. What do I need to know where Moshe and Aaron came from? Why is that important? Here they're taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. What do I need to know the Yichus for? Why is that a whole parasha now I'm given in the middle of them taking out the Jewish people to know the Yichus? What is Yichus? Yichus means, right, you have shaychus to something beforehand. We're showing the yichus to Shevet Levi, who were not slaves, who were free, and now there's a rule. A person who is a slave can't free a slave. A free man can free a slave. The Gemara says, Ein Adam Matir Atmo Beit Asurim. You can't be matir yourself from a prison, your own personal prison. You need someone else. If he's in prison, he can't take you out. He has to be someone who's free from these things to take someone out from his prison. And that's true in life as well. Chazal say, just as a person has afflictions of the body, he goes to a doctor. A person who has afflictions of the soul goes to a chacham. And he's the one who takes them out of their Beit Isurim. Now, anyone who understands here about Moshe Rabbeinu, and I spoke about this last week, Moshe Rabbeinu was in Egypt. He was grew up in Egypt. He was born in Egypt. He was an Egyptian. He was second in command to Paro when he left and looked at his people. And he redeemed himself from the midst of Egypt at the age of 80, right? The age of Bina. And he entered Yitro, he got married. He with a flock, he went after the stray flock, and he got Matan Torah. For him, was Matan Torah was the burning bush. Moshe Rabbeinu received Matan Torah. He removed himself from Egypt. He removed himself from his personal exile, and he got his personal Torah. Now he's fitting to remove the Jewish people from their general exile and bring them to Torah. You understand? So the personal, now when we're saying the yichus of Moshe Va'aron, right? We're really explaining to you that they have strong spiritual roots. And those strong spiritual roots give them the ability to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. They're Bnei Levi. They weren't in the Shibud. They were redeemed. They were free people. As a free person, with the yichus of Levi and Yocheved, we have to understand why Yocheved, right? And Amram, what they represent. They had the koach now to remove the Jewish people from their affliction. That's why it's important to know the yichus, family line. So now Moshe, God tells them to remove the Jewish people. Va'ani ekshet leparo. I'm going to harden Paro's heart. V'hirbeti et ototai. And I'm going to increase my otot, the etmoftai bears the triumph. I'm going to increase the, so to speak, the makas, the 10 makas in Egypt. Now, this parasha, let me explain. Vayera has 7 makas. Parasha's bo is Beit Aleph, has 3 makas. The 7 makas represent the 7 lower spheres. From Malchus to Chesed, it's the lower world. I always speak about this. Like the 7 nations, the lower worlds. So this means to remove the Jewish people from the lower, so to speak, the lower worlds. The 3 makas are giving the Jewish people their, so to speak, their head. That's going to be Parshas Bo. So here it's removal from slavery. That's what we're doing in these makas here. These are makas removing them from slavery. To give them a moach, to give them a head, is going to be a parshas bo. So in these makas, Kodesh Baruch Hu makes hard the heart of Paro. The lev of Paro, the lev always represents the lower 7 makas. The heart of Paro is made hard. So it says, what's fair? Why didn't Kodesh Baruch Hu? He made Paro's heart hard. The makas was not to destroy Egypt. The makas was to remove the Jewish people from their slave mentality. To get up to Lekachti. Sorry, Hitzalti, we're doing Misiv Lotam, Vitzalti. That's what these 7 makas are. In Zion, Ches, right, it speaks here that now Kodesh Baruch Hu is sending Moshe and Aaron to Paro. And now there's this whole thing with the matot, with the staves. Now what does a mate represent? A staff represents Malchus. Like a king has a staff. You understand? That represents his kingship. So now we're going to see a whole something happening between the staves of Moshe Rabbeinu and the staves of Chartum and Mitzrayim, which represent Mitzrayim. Now that means something. So it goes like this. Ve'yavo Moshe v'Aaron Yud El Paro V'yasu ken kashet ziva Hashem, like God commanded them. V'yishlach Aaron et Matehu lifnei Paro. He threw his staff in front of Paro. Fnei Avadav v'yihi letanin, and it became a tanin. Tanin represented, it was a snake, whatever it is, represented Paro. Like, you know, the mummies, they have like these snakes, right? It represents the kingship of Paro. So he's throwing this tanin. This represented the Egyptian people. This represents the malchus of Paro, right? And it was in his hands. That means his staff became an expression of the malchus of Paro. That means he was taking over the malchus of Paro. He was taking over the kingship of Paro. So it says, "Vikra gam Paro lechachamim." He called his wise, ulemachshefim, and his wizards. V'yasu gam hem chautumei Mitzrayim b'la'atayim. They did this, the same thing. They all threw their staffs, and they became what? They became taninim. These like snakes. V'yashlichu ish matehu v'hi letaninim. V'yivla mate Aaron et matotam. Aaron's mate, not as a snake, as a mate, absorbed the matot. When you absorb something, it becomes part of you. You have dominion over it. It showed that the malchus of Moshe v'Aaron, of God, where they represent God, they were shlichim from God, is going to take over the malchus of Paro. That was the sign that was shown. Okay? V'yichazek lev Paro v'lo shema lahem. He didn't listen to him. Kashe diber Hashem. Like, because God hardened his heart, right? So now, v'yom Hashem Moshe, kaved lev Paro me'en l'shalech am. It's going to be heavy not to send the people. Now, lech el Paro baboke, in the morning, hine yotze ha'mayim, he's going to the Nile, because of the bracha of Yaakov Inu, came towards Paro, and he made himself into a deity. He said he can't go, doesn't go to the toilet. In the morning, he used to go to the toilet. The Nile used to come, he used to go to the toilet. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, go to him in the morning, when he's embarrassed. V'nitzavta likrato al sfat ha'yo'o. Now, why is Chazal telling us in this way? Take the mate with you. Yeah? Tell him, Hashem Elokei Yehudim, Shalachani Elecha, God, the Lord of the Jews, sent me to you. You didn't hear it now. What did Moshe Rabbeinu ask for? He did ask to come out of Mitzrayim. He asked Paro, let me take them to serve God outside. And you're going to see, as this process goes along, he's not going to ask them to serve God. He's not going to say, let us go out 3 days out. Then he's going to say, let us go out and we spend time out serving. We want to take our cattle. They want to take our women and our children. He's going to increase what he asks. Every makkah, he's going to increase what he asks. Why is that? It's the stage where the Jewish people are. They, as far as they're concerned, at this stage, this first makkah, all the Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to achieve was removing them to be some level of freedom, some level of individuality, that they can serve God. They're not in servitude to Paro. You with me? That's the first thing. That's what Makkah's Dam did. That's the first makkah. So now this makkah, right? And that's also, why did Moshe Rabbeinu come when Paro had to go to the toilet? And it's very clear he's not a deity. I know you're not a deity. You're not fooling anyone. God is the Lord. You understand? Are you going to admit to the Avodah Zarah you made yourself? Are you going to admit to the lies that you're telling your people? And that we're going to show that you're not the deity, God is the deity. And the servitude has to be to God. That's why I'm asking the Jewish people serve God. They're no longer going to serve you, Paro. You with me? What's a personal geula? What's the first stage in personal geula? Paro is the Yetzer Hara. The first thing a person has to know is, He can leave the Yetzer Hara. He can leave it. He's not in complete servitude to his Yetzer Hara. He's in servitude to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's God. His avoda is to God, not in serving his Yetzer Hara. Now, this might sound simple. It is very not simple. Most of the world spend their time saying, and they say it Bereish Galia. They say it clearly. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy life. What does it mean, I want to have fun? I want to enjoy life. I want to do whatever I want to do. I want to eat, I want to sleep, I want to do whatever I want to do. I want to be an eved to my Yetzer Hara. That's power of Mitzrayim. You understand? That's the first thing that has to be removed. Pasuk Yudzayin. Ko ama Hashem. Bezot teda ki ani Hashem hine anochi make b'mate Hashem b'yadi al hamayim Hashem b'yo'ov nefchu l'dam. Now the Yo'ov, which represents the sustenance of Mitzrayim, that would gave Paro the koach to be the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, right? Because what happened? Because of the bracha of Yaakov Avinu, when Pharaoh went to the Nile would come towards him, and that Nile rising would bring fertility to the whole of Mitzrayim. So Pharaoh became the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, right? So now we're turning the bracha of the Nile into dam, into something which is not bracha, something which is bad, terrible, blood, right? So the first thing that goes is the Avodah Zarah. The first thing that goes is the Yetzer Hara, what you're living your life for. That's the first thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu shows you. Chasing after the fun, the kef in life, that Avodah Zarah, that's dam. That's going to take you to a place of death. That's what dam represents. Dam represents death. Chasing after your desires is chasing after death. That's the first reality that a person reaches. I mean, like, you know, you're going to die. What are you going to take when you die? Pizzas, smoothies, what are you going to take there? That's what you're living for? You had a kilo of smoothies, a kilo of ice cream, a ton of ice cream, a ton of smoothies, I don't know how many tons you have. That's what you're, that's people write on their, you know, on their tombstone. He ate 250 tons of pizza, 500 gallons of Coca-Cola. That's what we write? Wine, that's what people write there? So why live like that? Now, all these makas, Rashi says here, each maka happened for a week, and there was 3 weeks of hatra'ah, 3 weeks of warning. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave enough warning for each maka, 3 weeks of warning, 1 week of maka. 3 weeks of mourning, 1 week of maka. All the makas were that form. Right, now again, I explain to you. Right? Each maka, there was 10 makas, and therefore there were 10 months. This was a process of removing the slavery mind from the Jewish people. Chazal tell us that Chatumim could do the same thing. And now there's an important Chazal that the first three makas, the Chatumim is the sorcerers. They could do the also. They couldn't cure it, but they could do the same thing. So Paro didn't listen. Now, the first three makas, which were to do with the water and the land, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do them. Why? Because he was saved by the soil and the waters. The Nile saved him when he was a baby. And the did the first ones. Because it was Hakaras HaTov to the things that saved him. The land and the waters that saved him. So he wasn't going to do the makas. That needs an explanation. Because L'chara, there's a Kiddush Hashem incurring here. He's doing a Kiddush Hashem with the waters and the thing. So why is that a good thing to do? From his point of view, doing a makkah, it's a regishut. It's a feeling. You're hitting something, you're inflicting something, that it shows a bad hakaras hatov. The Gemara says, boar that you drank from, don't throw a stone in it. It's for you, not for the boar. The boar has no feelings. It's for you. A well that you drank from, you don't throw a stone. That means it's for you. There's a hakaras hatov. Someone who helped you, you don't do something bad to them. Even so, a well.
So is that why?
So your feelings say that you should have this hakaras hatov. Now there's an important thing here. The Chazal are telling us this concept of hakaras hatov. at the stage of coming out of Egypt. Because the whole concept of Egypt and the Makkos, which connect us with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's what we have, the Haggadah on Leil Pesach, is Hakaras HaTov. So the Hakaras HaTov, in the form of the Makkos Mitzrayim, that we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do the first few Makkos because of Hakaras HaTov, is telling us that that's what's being imprinted into Klal Yisrael. Being imprinted into Klal Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu saved them, and it's going to imprint into Klal Yisrael this Hakaras HaTov. So Chas V'Sham, that these Makkos would have any semblance of lacking of Hakaras HaTov, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do the first few Makkos. Vayom Hashem Moshe, boil Paro, come to Pharaoh, v'amalta elav, tell him, Ko Amah Hashem, shaleach et ami v'yavdun, send out my people, let them serve me. V'imen ata l'shaleach, hine anochi nogef et kol gvulecha b'sfardim. I'm going to inflict all your domain with sfardim, with frogs. V'sharat hayo'o sfardim. Sfarim came from the Yod. This is also a Makkah of the Yod, still a Makkah of the Nile. And now Sfarim come, and they get everywhere. They're not killing anyone, but it's completely uncomfortable. And they're making tremendous noise, and uncomfortable, right? And Chazal tell us, Midah is connected Midah, right? They didn't have water, they didn't get water. They made their lives uncomfortable, their lives are made uncomfortable, right? You with me? Now the Makkah Sfardim, I'll explain to you a little bit what a Sfardeya is. It's brought down in Chazal, Sfardeya is Tzipu De'a. Tzipo De'a. Tzipo is a bird of Da, of knowledge. Right? Tzipu De'a, what's a bird represent? A bird represents its cheeping. A bird cheeps, it's a call. That means there's a call of knowledge. That means it's the beginning of the Jewish people to begin to have Das. The beginning, the first thing was to remove them from their bondage of slavery. Right? Now they were selling water. They were selling water to the Egyptians and they were getting money for it. Right? They were no longer slaves. They were removed somewhat from their slavery. They were asking them for money. They're no longer the people afflicting them. Now the Sfardeya, the Egyptians were not only not having drinking water and being paid the Jewish people to get drinking water, they were now being afflicted, they were uncomfortable. And the Jewish people were in perfect comfort. Now, the affliction was on the Egyptians. Now the Jews begin to feel that they are being freed from their afflictions, and the afflictions are being put on the Egyptians. They're getting more out of the zone of being slaves. The way the Makkos, the Sfardeya came, it said, Bayet Aaron et Yado al Mimeh Mitzrayim. This is still on the waters. Vital Hasfardeya. Sfardeya is singular. So Chazal say one Sfardeya came up and the Egyptians hid it. And as they hid it, many little Sfardim came from it. Vitachas et Haaret et Eret Mitzrayim. Why was it in this way? They brought on their own affliction. By trying to remove their affliction, they brought on their own affliction. You with me? That's what it is. When a person in life has pain, and he tries to forget it, tries to run away from it, tries to push it away, the pain increases. The Egyptians weren't accepting that they were no longer enslaving the Jewish people. They wanted to remove themselves from the Makkos. They weren't accepting it. They weren't accepting God's realm. The Sfardeya gave them that Deya. The Tzipu Deya, right, the call of Das, that was which was happening now, gave them that understanding. They are no longer in charge of the Jewish people. They are now going to be inflicted, and the Jewish people are not inflicted. It's a reversal of roles now. That's why it means Tzipu Deya. Tzipur Deya, I explained to you, Deya means a knowledge, an understanding. There's an understanding of the change of roles. That's what's happening in the next Makkah. Paro didn't listen. V'chazek lev Paro v'lo shama aleim kasher dibe Hashem. Hashem said, because he hardened his heart. The purpose wasn't here to Paro listening. The purpose here was to remove the Jewish people from their enslavery. Yeah? The next one. So the next one is now the kinim. For Yom Hashem Moshe, Hashkem Babok, Vishatsev Lizne Paro, Bnei Yotze Amayim. Again, go to the Nile, right? The whole thing. Ki im einecha mishalech tamim. You don't say my people. Hinin mashlich b'cha, u'ba'avadech u'mech batecha. Oh no, sorry, that's the Arob. We missed the kinim. The first is the kinim. Vayome Hashem Moshe, emo al Aaron, netet matecha, vahachet afa, hit the land, the ground, haaret, of the land, vayal kinim b'chol eret Mitzrayim. And they're now going to be kinim in the whole of Egypt. Vayasu ken, and they did thus. Vayet Aaron et yadol matei, vayachet afa aaret, vati kinim, kinam ba'adam behema, and man and the animals, kol afa aaret haya kinim b'chol eret Mitzrayim. Right? They were these lice. Vayasu ken achautumim belatei lehotzi et hakinim velo yochlu. They couldn't do this. The frogs they could do, the Nile they could do. Vati ki hakinam ba'adam behema. Vayomru achautumim. The achautumim told Paro, El Paro, etzba elokim hi. This is God's hand. This is not sorcery. Vichazek le Paro velo shema alehim kasher divi Hashem. And Paro didn't listen. This is the first time. The third marker. Right? The first makkah is malchus. The second makkah is yisod. Yisod means deah. Das is the first gilui of das is in yisod. That's what I explained. The third makkah is netzach. It's nitzachon. Here was a defeating of the sorcerers of Mitzrayim. That's the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nitzachon, winning, right? Or like fighting and destroying, that happened in the third makkah. Now Egypt had the reality. There was Etzbe Elohim. This was God. This was no sorcery here. It's not a bigger sorcerer. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was in power, was brought out by power, was a bigger sorcerer than all the other sorcerers. No, this was the hand of God. You understand? Now, the first three spheres is basically we got out of what's called Katnus. We got out of what is called being a child, a baby. A three-year-old. Now we're growing up. Now we're about to. This is like stages. So we got Etzbe Elohim is you're no longer. There's a realization of God. There's a realization something beyond Paro. There's something bigger than Paro called God. Now Sipur there is a recognition. There's a change. You're no longer the slavery. Now there's a recognition of a higher enslavement to God, a higher deity called God. That's what happens in the Makkah's Kinim. Arov is the fourth Makkah. The fourth Makkah is what? After Netz, it's Tiferet, right? So Tiferet is the Arov. So what happens here? Tiferet is the middle of Yaakov Avinu, the middle middle between Chesed and Gvura. The combination of good, of kindness and judgment. Rachamim, mercy, is Tiferet. Now what does Tiferet do? Tiferet is beauty, right? That's what beauty, Tiferet means, the word Tiferet means beauty, right? It's a combination of two things. Now we're bringing, Ki im einecha mashalech et ami, hineni mashlich b'cha, v'avadecha, b'amecha, v'atecha, et ha'arov. The arov is the wild beasts. Umalu bate Mitzrayim et ha'arov, v'gam ha'adama shehem aleah. Now what happened? What's special about the Arov? Vifleti biyomahu et Eretz Goshen. I'm separating Eretz Goshen now. Wild animals could be anywhere. Kinim, you could say, is in a specific place. Svardeyes and Mayim came from the Yor, you can say, in a specific place. But Arov is going to be everywhere. Here, there was distinction, a very clear distinction between Ami, my people, and Mitzrayim. Now, after there's a recognition, Tiferet, remember, Tiferet is the Midah of Yisrael. This is the first time that we're separating now from being part of Avdei Paro. There's a separation from the Jewish people from Paro. There's a separation of the Makkah. Now the Jewish people realize they're separate. There's a distinction. There's a Jew and there's Avdei Paro. That's what this Makkah does. The Rabbeinu changes. After the hour, he says, "Lo nachon lasot ken," right? He says, "I'm not going to just serve God just outside Mitzrayim. No, it's not proper to do this. Ki toeva Mitzrayim nisbach l'Hashem Elokeinu. Hen nisbach et toeva Mitzrayim. We're going to shecht in front of Egypt, the Avodah Zarah of Egyptians. Le'enem ve'lo yiskeluni. No, they won't throw stones at us. They won't kill us, right? There's shoshet yamim nelech b'midbar. We go 3 days out. Before we just asked just to go out. Now he says, no, we go 3 days out. V'zavchenu l'Hashem Elokeinu kashe yomai aleinu. Like he'll tell us. Then we'll go. And now he's going to say he wants to take flock with him. He's increasing. You understand? All the time he's increasing. As Klal Yisrael become more free, he's increasing what he tells to Paro. And again, Paro doesn't listen. Now, we made a mistake. Sorry. Arov is Netzach. Netzach is a Nitzachon, the separation of the Jewish people and the Nitzachon over, right, it's not Tiferes. Tiferes is the next one. It's Deva is Tiferet, and then there's going to, yeah, that's what it is. Deva is Tiferet. We have Makas Deva. Makas Deva is the plague, right? V'yome Hashem el Aaron. El Moshe. Bo'a para, right? Yeah, it says, Hine yad Hashem hoya b'miknecha, Hashem b'sadeh b'susim b'chamurim g'malim b'boker b'tzon, deva kaved me'od. There's going to be, v'hifla Hashem b'in mikne Yisrael b'in mikne Mitzrayim. So there's going to be not only a difference in the lives of the Jewish people, there's going to be a difference in what? In also their nechasim, in also what they own. It's a more of a separation. There's a further separation. Not only the lives, but also in what they own. Next one is going to be Shchin. V'yome Hashem, Shchin's going to be Gvura.
What's Gvura? Can you stop?
Gvura means judgment. V'yome Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron. Kuhu lechem meloch ofneichem, piach kivsham v'zarku, Moshe Hashemayma le'nei Paro. Right? He throws it in front of Paro, and Vaya la avak al kol eretz Mitzrayim, vaya al adam v'al behema l'shchin porech ababuot b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Shchin is like boils. This is what we call boil. I don't know exactly if it's boils, but that's what it's called in English. It's some sort of burning effect, right? It's a burning of the flesh of Mitzrayim and the burning flesh of the animals, and it's killing them. It killed them. Don't even burn them. It killed them. So there was a difference. So now there's a complete destruction of, or pain, or burning effect, right, of these boils. It's a form of ash, it's a form of fire. Fire always represents Gevura, right? And it destroys, yeah, ash terror, fire terror, it represents Gevura. But it represents, like, a dominion over. Fire always represents power and dominion. That was Gevura. And the final marker we're going to see is going to be Barad. That's going to be Chesed. That's Keneged Chesed. Barad is the shiluv of water and ash, the connection, the two things together, connecting and destroying Mitzrayim. Now, here you have another destruction, a destruction of the crops. Not only destruction of the animals, there's a further destruction of the crops. That means Mitzrayim is completely destroyed. That's what the Chavtumim will come here and say. That's going to say, you haven't, v'yechazek le paro, yeah? The Chachamim come to Paro, they say, Mitzrayim is being destroyed here. Now, there's an interesting pasuk at the end, I'm skipping now. It says, at pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vapishta vasa'or nukata, the pishtan. Pishtan represents the flax, vasa'or is the barley, was destroyed. Ki ha-sa'or aviv vapishta giv'ol. The sa'or came out already, and the pishta giv'ol was already a shoot, was already strong. Vachita vakosemet lo nuku ki afelotem. They came out later, they were softer. Now I'm explaining. Pishtan, we see by Cain. He bought Pishtan. Pishtan is flax. It bought by Cain. Pishtan represents the Ra in the world. Sa'or is Seir, is Esof. Pishtan is connected, so to speak, the Ra. Ovdea Pishtan is Mitzrayim. That represents the Ra in connection with Taivas. And Se'ora represents Seir is Esav. Seir is Esav, represents Gaiva. So the Giv'ol was knocked, the Gaiva, so to speak, the Ra of Gaiva was knocked out, and the Pishtan, the Ra of Taivas, was knocked out. And that's why you needed a Shiluv of Eish and Mayim. Eish is connected Gaiva, Mayim is connected taiva. That's why the varad was a shilu, was a connecting, was the two aspects, Eish and Mayim. That these two yesodot came to nullify these two aspects. What would remain was Chita v'Kosemit, those against, they're going to be, which haven't been destroyed in Egypt, that's the Ga, that's going to be the head, so to speak, of in Egypt. That's going to be seen, it's going to come with Makas Bechoros. Okay? At this stage, Mitzrayim is completely destroyed. Physically, completely destroyed. All now the Jewish people have been freed physically from Paro. They are no longer enslaved, but they still do not have a mind for Torah. The desire, the connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that connection is going to be happening in Parshas Bo.